just wants to turn to the chart or the page that begins with the two words, even simpler. Even simpler. That's where we are. But before we begin, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for the heavens of your heart opening to us in the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can receive your word deeply, that it would be engrafted in and bring forth Christ. Lord, that we would conceive of the things that are in your heart, that they be birthed into our hearts and Christ would be formed therein. And that, Lord, it would go so far beyond knowledge that we would be filled with all your fullness. And, Lord, we would know your love experientially, that we would be so full of your love that Christ would be revealed in us, that it would truly be him, Lord, that he would be made manifest in our lives in ways more wonderful than we could ever even dream of, in ways that only the Holy Spirit can reveal to us, because they are who you are and who you want to be in your bride and through your bride, Lord. And this is all relationship. This is love. So open our hearts, Lord, to be more than learners, but to be your bride, to hear what the Spirit has to say, and let it sink deep in our ears, down into our spirit, bringing forth Christ. May our faith and our anticipation be along these lines, Lord, for an increase of your Son. Give you this time to guide us, to speak to us by the Spirit of God in us, the Espíritu de Dios en ti, en nosotros. Lord, you are the one we want to hear. Escucha, Espíritu de Dios. That's the one we want to hear. You reveal Christ in us. Nobody can teach that. You know him. You're one with him. Show us who he is. In Jesus' name. Amen. So let's begin on this chart called Even Simpler, which I need the even simpler chart. I need to review, you know, I'm a good teacher because I've got a lot of patience because God has had a lot of patience with me, and he's, every day he does. God's method is union. Let us all say the heavenly chorus together. God's method is union. Aren't you happy for that?
Yes.
You should be. You should be thanking, crying every day, kissing the feet of Jesus, that his method is not the works of the law, because then you would be going to hell. May I be so bold. Yes, yeah, everything we have is through union. And remember that, may the Spirit guide us as we review, but the thing we started with in Hosea was that we have this harlot. She has nothing to offer to earn love, acceptance, all these things that are him. She has nothing, but he marries her. He takes unto himself and into himself, if you will, in the picture of Christ bringing us in union into himself. He gathers her in and he marries her. Well, in those few words, in the very first and second, you know, the second verse of Hosea, we are confronted with the God who is love, the God whose method is union. And because that God is foreign to his own people, just like he was in Hosea's time, we read that scripture and we go, let's see, Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. And the Lord said unto Hosea, go, take unto thee a woman of harlotry, the children of harlotry. And all we see is harlotry, children of harlotry. The land hath committed a great whoredom in departing from the Lord. You know what we hear? Sin, and the land is departed. And, you know, we don't hear, the Lord told this guy, take her unto yourself. Marry her. Marry the girl. This is the word of the Lord. This is the way I am. We just go, harlotry, departing, sin, guilt, shame. And we write books on how evil Gomer is and how poor Hosea had to suffer. And he probably did. Surely he did. But our focus isn't on who God is. It's who Gomer is. how Gomer is, what God had, not who, but who shows us who God is. Espíritu de Dios. Who? Not what. And we have to see that. We have to get dove's eyes. We have to develop and cultivate eyes that go, how do you see this, God? Holy Spirit, what is it that you're trying to communicate from the deep places in God's being from whence you come, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. What are you taking in your wings from this verse into my bosom? What of him can I embrace? Certainly what's in the depths of God's bosom is not Gomer was a harlot. The land departed. Evil, repent. You're so wicked, 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 wicked. I mean, you feel how dark that is? Everything is what? Sin consciousness. Everything is, ooh, look at how bad, how much the land has departed. How awful Gomer has been. What are we focused on? Anything but God, basically. It's a very dark, defiling existence. The works of the flesh, the method of man, the way we are apart from God. It's just awful. We gossip, we condemn, we judge, we are filling our hearts and mind with issues and people and not needing to know and the knowledge of good and evil and eating of death and becoming defiled and poisoned. And I mean, isn't that what happened in the very beginning? It sure is. We get tempted to focus in our gaze upon not the Lamb, but all the things other than him and justify that in his name. Well, all that is what we are. We are that apart from Christ. I believe it, but amen, we're just wretches apart from Christ. We are self-absorbed, judgmental little wretches. That's why we need God to bring us in by union, amen? We cannot get in this on our own merits because we're wretched little creatures. We really are. If you don't believe it, ask God for a good old-fashioned Romans 7 experience. You just ask him, if Kelly's wrong, prove it to you. Just say, I need a good old-fashioned Romans 7 on a double burger with a side of fries. Okay? See what you think about my last sentence. I was being kind. What we need is a God whose method is union to say, yeah, I see more than you see about just how far the land has departed and how wretched you are, but I love you and I'm giving myself for you because it's who I am and how I function. My method is union. I am love, God, in his nature. And I give myself love in the sense of selfless giving that another might receive life unto death. And he takes her in. And we don't see that in that verse because our method is not union. Our method is me, 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 you, down here, issue, whatnot. But God is this way. And from the very first verse of Hosea, we start on this premise. God's method is union. Now, if we leave that method, any of the verses in Hosea or the whole Bible, any of the verses, then all of a sudden we don't understand what Hosea is saying because our template is wrong. We're looking through the wrong colored glasses. We're looking through a wrong view. So why are we using this chart now? Because we're having to remind ourselves that through the whole book, God is not changing. His method is union. Every sentence, every confusing thing that happens in here, God hasn't changed, and his method hasn't changed. His way hasn't changed. His relationship hasn't changed. He's trying to bring her in. But his relationship, his way, who he is, how he functions, that hasn't changed. And you're not going to understand the word of God if you think he's changing. Oh my gosh, in that verse he's schizophrenic. He went back to the law. Oh, now he's a God of union. Oh no, oh my goodness, what? There's no other interpretation for that prophecy. Then he's mad at me, he hates me, he condemns me, he wants, you know. You have to know his heart to read his words. And you have to understand his person to comprehend the scriptures, and you have to understand his ways to rightly divide them. And we spent years and years in Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, the major prophets, looking at those verses in all of the major prophets that everyone calls condemnation, and how they were simply a picture of the cross of our own crucifixion, where God had to put us away. He had to take the old out so Christ could come in as the new life in us. And that it was a thing of love, that judgment was on our flesh so that we could be judged in Christ and become his bride, a vessel of his life. But if we don't know his ways, his way is the cross, then we're not going to rightly divide the scriptures. We're going to read into them every kind of thing we think about. Maybe we know his love, but we don't know his way of expressing that love is through the cross. So we stay on the premise of God's method is union, God is love, this is his way, but we don't know the way he expresses that love is through the cross. So we can't rightly divide the word of truth because we don't see that's the cross, where he put me away, where he brought forth Christ. You see, we just see, he's judging me, he hates me. What is he doing? These scriptures are weird. God's schizophrenic, I don't know. You know, you may know his heart, but you don't know his way. You need to see that the cross is the way he loved us and how his spirit brings that forth in our life. Well, we're skipping ahead, but what I just said is going to come to us in the very first baby Gomer has, okay? But we want this to make sense, so I'm going to keep going here. Now let's break down. The union method involves what? Grace. Right out of the chute, we see how Gomer is having grace extended to her through Hosea at the command of God. And what did Gomer do? She received it. She received grace. He said, you want to get married? She said, yes. She didn't go, I don't deserve it. Do you know who I am? Do you know what I've done? Do you know where I've been? Oh, maybe, you know. He's like, I'm God. I know way more than you know. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come on. I didn't come to condemn, but to give life. Man. So Gomer surprised us all. She received it. She got married. She received it. It's a big deal. She's functioning by union now. It's a pretty big deal for a harlot to all of a sudden say, I'm not going to worry about how I feel about myself and receive. Yeah. Amen. So the next is faith. And faith is an action of, it's an activity of union. You know, living under the law doesn't require a lot of faith, does it? Not in the heart of God. You may have a lot of faith in your own righteousness. You know, you're downright. But this faith works by love, this new covenant faith based on oneness with Christ. God's kind of faith, right? God's kind of faith is believing in his heart. Amen? I can receive grace because I have faith in his heart. His way is union. His heart is love. God is for me, not against me. I am going to receive this grace and come into union with Christ, not because I've earned it, not because I'm good enough. Yes, I am a harlot. No, I don't deserve it, but I believe in his heart and that his heart is selfless, self-giving love, that through his death he gave me life. He brought me in. He joined to me so I could partake of him in his death and in his resurrection, and I believe in him. Faith. It's a union method thing. Knowing. We have a whole new way of knowing. In union, knowing is intimacy. Right? We discussed that. Remember? There was a whole list of scriptures I gave you. Read the printout. You got it. But Adam knew Eve. That's the same word. There's a knowing. It's not, tell me. Jedi and I had a wonderful time yesterday. And would be the student and go, mm-hmm, what can I? Mm-hmm. Or the bride that wants to know him, to receive his spirit, to see his heart, to be, to abide as a bride, to know as a bride, right? It's different than head knowledge. The knowing that a bride had brings conception. Hallelujah. How would you like to leave Bible school full of Christ instead of full of, I am the best Bible searcher in North Texas, in County Mayo, right? In Holland. How about I am nothing, and He is everything, and I know His heart, and I'm full of His Spirit, and I'm bringing forth Christ, and not I, but Him, and everybody smells it's not me, it's Him, and oh, Jesus, right? And the kind of knowing that is involved in union has a manifest, it's showing. Shows what? It shows a manifestation of Christ. You go through the union method, you start a harlot, you end up a vessel of the living God. How's that? How's that for productivity? Union works. But then we have the carnal method. That's the second one. And the carnal method is works. Works method involves, instead of grace, we have earning. You know, Hosea would be, you know, it would have chapter 1, verse 2. And it would, we'd go to verse 3. So Gomer, or so Hosea went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and that would be it. And she would not receive it. The end. The book of Hosea. The shortest prophecy in the scriptures. Because she just went with the works of the flesh. Okay? So we say thank you, Gomer, for going with the union method here. Because now we get 14 chapters instead of 3.5 verses. Okay? So the carnal method involves works. And works equals, instead of grace and receiving, we have earning and laboring. That's fun, isn't it? Don't you just want to be under the law? You could be with the Lord receiving grace, an abundance of grace, and reigning in life by one, Lord Jesus Christ. But instead, we can just be worrying and working and earning it all day long, sweating and toiling and fretting. How fun. Yay. Let's do it. Let's go under the law. Let's leave the Lord and just work. Instead of faith, we have what we earned. I don't need to focus on God's big heart of love and the cross that made us one, because I can think all day about what I just earned, and I trust in my own righteousness. Instead of believing in God, I can just believe in myself and how good I am or how bad I am and who I am and what I've done and what I can do and what I will do and what I will be and who I was. All about me. Yeah, I can trust in me and spend my time self-absorbed for God. Instead of knowing, the kind of knowing that brings conception and a manifestation of the Son, we can have head knowledge learning. And instead of having Christ birthed in us in new ways and form in us in living ways, we can become puffed up in our flesh. It makes us look like we're pregnant, but really we're just proud. Isn't that exciting? Yes. And the manifestation of that, the final result, the unveiling, is a big, puffed up, prideful person. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? The end result is a big, puffed up more of you. No Jesus increasing. Now, I'm just going to say this and move on, but to me, the carnal method looks like a lot more work with a lot less results than God's method, which looks like a lot more knowing of the one I love and bringing Him forth by grace. So you make a decision every day which method you would like to choose, and let that be the template upon which you proceed. In this class, we are going to proceed under the union method. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Y'all ready to go forth into Hosea in the union method?
Yes.
Every scripture, every verse, even the ones when you're going to start working on the works. Stay in union. Don't get confused. He hasn't changed. Amen? Okay, we're laying the foundations. Now let's turn the page, go to the next page. It says our Hosea equation. Now, God has given us an equation that can help us understand the book of Hosea. Remember with the major prophets how He gave us the Father was Isaiah, the Son, Jeremiah, the Holy Spirit, Ezekiel, and it kind of helped us, that template helped us kind of understand a little bit more of how the prophets were functioning. I believe with Hosea we have a similar template from the Lord, and that is this right here. Number one, union with Christ, plus number two, conception, equals number three, manifestation. Okay, we see that three times in the first three chapters, particularly the first two of Hosea. We see union with Christ in the picture of Hosea and Gomer. Okay? We see conception in the picture of Hosea and Gomer's two sons and one daughter. And we see manifestation in what those children matured to be or represented in the spirit of what their names can be defined as a type of Christ. We're not looking into all of that yet because we have to understand these basic things before we can really appreciate God's heart behind all of that. So we've got union with Christ plus conception equals manifestation, and we see that in the first verses and chapters of Hosea. Okay, the next point that is part of the Hosea equation, once again, these things may all not make sense right now in the sense of how they apply to every part of the book, but if you can get your heart and the spirit of your mind wrapped around these three concepts, then the Lord will bring them back to remembrance, and you'll be able to apply them as you're searching the scriptures for Christ in these areas. Okay, so the second one is that, now this is important, there is an order to the conceptions. Okay, Jezreel had to be the first manifestation come forth from knowing Hosea as the husband. He had to. There's absolutely no other way any of the other babies could be born first. I want everyone who partakes in this class to know why from the depth of their heart. I do, because it will be something the Spirit can use all your life in your relationship with Jesus. That's why we're taking the time to go over these things today, okay? The order of these children, these manifestations, of the things we've conceived through union with Christ, shows the progression of our conformity to Christ crucified in our lives. Okay, we've studied Jezreel. After we get this template laid in our hearts, established a little bit more, we're going to go on to Lo Ruhama, which is, we could spend a year on Lo Ruhama. I think that what the Lord has for us in Lo Ruhama is so precious and such an answer to certain people's prayers that if we just rushed into Lo Ruhama without being prepared for what God has for us there, we would miss a tremendous blessing from the Lord for our lives in Christ. So I really, really ask you to endeavor before the Holy Spirit and your Father to absorb these things, because they will come into play as we continue to see and hear from the heart of Jesus in the children that we were going to explore. And the third child being Lo-Ami, oh my, Lo-Ami is tremendous and has to be the final child. Has to. No way it could be. It would be impossible for Gomer to bring forth Lo-Ruhama if she had not conceived of and manifested Jezreel. Impossible. There's no way. There's absolutely no way for a believer to bring forth Lo-Ruhama in her fullness if they haven't conceived of Jezreel. Can't do it. And there's no way for Lo-Ami to come forth if you haven't gone through Lo-Ruhama after having conceived of what Jezreel is. Okay? I feel like I'm speaking a foreign language, but you'll see how this plays in. I believe it will play into the Romans class. It will play into your scripture searching in other books. Because it's a God pattern. It's a God equation. And he doesn't just randomly change them. They're always true. Okay, they're simple formulas based on who he is. Okay, so we've got some more points there, but you can read these on your own time. I don't think we're going to have time to cover everything. But I just, the Lord gave us these charts so that you could continue to go into them. I know that we started a little late, so we've got more time than I'm realizing. But I think that we're going to go on to Jezreel here so we can take some questions and answers before we run out of time to do so. Okay, so let's turn now to the review of Jezreel. That's going to be a couple pages down. Now, once we get to Jezreel, who is our first child, our first conception and manifestation through Gomer and Hosea's union, right? We have to have some of the things we've just spoken of laid in our hearts and our understandings before we can really begin to partake of what God is trying to communicate to us through this Jezreel. And I know that I meditated on this particular scripture for years. I'm a really slow learner in my own mind, and even the facts and stuff confuse me. And so I usually, when the Lord begins to just make me familiar with the scripture, the history, the general culture and such surrounding something like this, I spend months and years trying to figure out, now, what was Jezreel and what is that? And what did not, what, Jehu went and then when did, and what was he saying? And I mean, I'm really slow, so I have a lot of mercy. When I see it from the Holy Spirit, though, I never forget it, and I can dissect it up and down. I see it. I see Jesus. It's as clear as day. It's like, oh yeah, baby, I got it, and I'm never going to lose this. But before that time, I'm like, Jezreel and Jehu and what, when? Oh my gosh, I never was good at math. You know, that's how I feel. That's how I feel. But then when the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus, I'm like, wow, woohoo! And I'll be like, Jezreel, yeah. And you'll be like, I don't get it. I'm so dumb. I feel like I'm never going to. Just the same Holy Spirit who had mercy on a dummy like me will do it to all of us, right? Amen. No, you are. I'm the dummy and you're the smart ones. That's why I shouldn't be the teacher. That's what that means. That's why I sit here with you to learn, right? I am just a learner. Amen to that. So we have Jezreel, and I want to say it's worth the wait. It's worth the searching. It's worth the crying out. It's worth the confusion and going back and trying to just figure out the scriptures and the history. Because once you see it, hey, yo, do it. Go for it. Go. Search. Find him. That's all I have to say. That's between you and God now. But let's look at some of the fruits of my travail and study. So I pass to you that which was very difficult for me, hoping that it will push you a little further down the road, a little quicker. So I tried to make it as simple as I could the way the Holy Spirit made it simple for me. So let's look at this. We've got Jezreel number one. The word Jezreel comes from two Hebrew words, root words, meaning to sow and mighty, especially almighty. Put together, the two words mean God will sow or the sown God. Pretty cool name of God, huh? Wow. All right, so we look at this particular view of Jezreel as a name, right, as a name and not a location. And we surmise from the Hebrew root word that we've got the sown God, Christ crucified. He has a sown body, okay, because he became one with us. We saw Hosea got married to Gomer. So he has the sown God, has a sown body, and then he has a body of his sowing. I know that sounds like a riddle, but it's total logic. Okay, the sown God is Christ crucified. It's his eternal lamb nature, but it's who he is and how he related to us. He gave himself. He died. He was sown, amen. Christ was sown to get a bride, to get a body. He's a sown God. He's Jezreel. He wasn't Jezreel on the right hand of God in an eternity past. He was in the sense that he was always a lamb that was slain, but he wasn't in the sense that he hadn't come down here and literally been sown on Calvary. He's a sown God. We are his sown body because when he was sown, it was because he had joined to us and became sin and went down into death to atone for us, for our sin, for the old creation, for the corruption, to put it off, that old man, and to bring forth a body that had his life, right? So he has a sown body, and we're part of that. We were sown with him. When he was sown, we were sown because he married us before he got hopped up on that cross. Can I say it any simpler? I don't know. I'm probably saying it too simple and saying it wrong, but before the sown God got sown on Calvary, he married us and took us with him. Yeah. Okay, so we're his sown body. That's Jezreel. That's the God will sow that Jezreel represents initially. In the sown body in the picture of Jehu. Okay? That we were sown into his death. Because he married us, we were sown into only his death. That's Jezreel. That's Romans chapter 6. Lo ami is the third point, a body of his sowing. And that will be discussed later in Hosea because we're not at the third conception. The sown God is who he is eternally. It's what he did on the cross when he was sown in death for us. His sown body is what we became when he married us. It became sin and took us into death with him, sowed us into his death with him, because that lamb was married to this old man that he bore in his body and took into death. Amen. Put it away and raised up a new creation. The body of his sowing is what comes after we were raised up together with him in newness of life. And that's now the body of his sowing. That's lo ami. We're not near there yet. But you have to see, lo ruhama comes between his sown body and the body of his sowing. Okay? Marred. Now, Jezreel number two is a location. Both of these are spoken of in chapter one. I hope this is helping, because all this information is got to be understood just really in an informational level for it to be conceived of by the Holy Spirit in a certain sense to reveal Christ. So this information is very valuable. Jezreel number two is the location. It is a city located in a valley in Israel. It's a big old valley that is used to be real fertile, and it's still there, and it's kind of near Galilee, and it's a valley, but it's a city. And that city named Jezreel is where the huge slaughter occurred when King Jehu, that we read about in 2 Kings 9 and 10, tried to eradicate the seed of Ahab and Baal worship. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
Okay, good. So, Jezreel is spoken of twice in a certain different angles. In the very first verses of Hosea. So this Jezreel thing is just like the first thing that pops out of the heart of God to his bride. Don't you want to understand what that is? If he takes you into his heart and he's like, you took her in, she conceived and brought forth Jezreel. Whoa! You didn't waste any time there, Lord. Right? Here, let's get married. Jezreel, Jezreel, Jezreel. Woo! There he is. Man, that Jezreel thing's pretty big, huh? That's all you have to say? We just got married, and all you got to say to me is Jezreel, 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 Jezreel. What does that mean? What does that mean? Gomer in type and shadow, a type of a believer coming into union and knowing Christ, in that picture, she conceived of it. That's the next great miracle. Number one is that she received the invitation to come into union and didn't get under the law and get condemned. The second great miracle is that she conceived of Jezreel. She didn't just hear it and go, okay, Jezreel's a big deal to my husband. I don't know what it means. He says it all the time. I have no clue. I don't really care, but I believe in it. It's got to be real. No, she's something, that picture is that someone probes, that someone presses in to know, that wants to partake of, that wants to join with, that wants to be with that in oneness. She conceives of it, and then she brings it forth. It's part of who she is now. It's formed in her. It's the way she is now. It's how she identifies herself in union with him. It's how his life can come out of her in a new way. Jezreel is part of Gomer now. It's not just who God is. It's who they are. Christ was crucified, yeah, but so were we. I don't want it to just be him. I want it to be our son. My death. Our death. I was crucified what? With Christ. Can you say that in a marriage way? I was crucified with Christ. I was one with him when he was crucified. I was sown with him when he was sown. His death is my death. Jezreel is our son. I know that I'm crucified with Christ. I reckon it so. I know it so. Know ye not, brethren, that you are dead? And your life is hid with God. Know ye not, know ye not. It's all over Romans chapter 6, the chapter that talks about us being sown into his death with him. Know ye not. Do you think that word know is about intellectually understanding you're dead with Christ? Or a Gomer word, a bride word, a union word. God functions by union. He's saying, don't you know? Have you conceived of? Has it manifested in your life and walk that you are dead with Christ? Have you conceived of Jezreel? Is what Romans chapter 6 is saying. Is it just his death, or is it your child with him? Has it manifested in your heart? Have you conceived of it in your heart? Has it manifested in how you walk now? Because you know you're dead, and it's changed the way you manifest in your walk. You brought him forth. Are you beginning to understand a little bit? Okay, so how can we bring forth any other fruit until we've known and entered into his death? If we're not first crucified, then it's just going to be us doing things for God. You can't put the cart before the horse. Death is the first thing that happens in our union with Christ. I was listening to a Randy teaching tape the other day. That sentence just was right there. Death is, and it's our, it is the first activity of our union into Christ. We're brought into his death. And then we're brought forth in his life. Amen? You have to conceive of Jezreel first. Union with Christ, conception, manifestation. Do you see how Jezreel is that? Union with Christ, I'm united to him in his death. Conception, I see this, I know this, I receive this. It's been revealed in me, it's experientially true in my life. Manifestation, it changes the way I walk. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. Jezreel, I am dead, not I, Jezreel, but Christ. Jezreel, the crucified God. Amen? There's an order. Okay, let's see what we got here. Mm-hmm. I think we covered that. And then on the second page of Jezreel, we can find scriptures in Hosea that revert to Jezreel. There's four of them. They're all in the first and then second chapter. And then finally, on the very final page, there's more just general information on Jezreel, because once again, you just want to gobble up everything you can as fodder for the Spirit to use to reveal Christ in the scriptures and make us familiar with what was just basically being said before he can just show us what the Spirit really is saying and how Christ is being revealed and communicated to us in those verses. So I think that is our basic outlines. We have a few minutes, about 10 or 15, for questions and answers. So I would like Lindsay to turn on the speaker for the Skypers to feel free. We are one body, one classroom, and one family here. And therefore, we want everyone on Skype to have the freedom to be a part of this. So Lindsay's back there with you guys helping, and we're here in the room. Does anyone have a question? And Lindsay, if they have one on Skype, go ahead and or comment. Okay, anybody on Skype or anyone here have a question or a comment? Let's start with God's method is union. Just kind of reviewing where we went. You know what? If there's no questions or comments, all that means is maybe this is helping and you're feeling a little more comfortable in your Hosea shoes. Yeah. Oh, good. That's good. Okay, so she said she doesn't understand the avenging part. She's referring to where God says that I will avenge the blood of Jezreel on the house of Jehu. And that's in reference to, it says it here in verse 4 of chapter 1. The Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu. Now, this is very, very powerful. And I'm so glad she said it, because it was a whole, we covered a whole portion. Yeah, but you really want your heart to embrace this and see it from the Spirit, because it's very powerful. With Jezreel, we talked about this, but I think we need to keep talking until it's a little more clear. With Jezreel, we have this 90 years previous or so to Hosea situation in Israel, where this king, Hosea, was made king, and he immediately went out to fulfill a prophecy that had previously been given through Hosea concerning the seed of Ahab and Baal worship being destroyed. So what Jehu did was he just, as soon as he was consecrated king, he jumped on his horse, rode to Jezreel where all the royalty was and Baal worship was prevalent, and he started a mighty, massive, I mean, amazing slaughter. He took them down, man. I mean, you read it. It's in 2 Kings chapters 9 and 10. The story's laid out perfectly there for anyone to read and comprehend. But the situation is, Ahab, who was a wicked king, can be comprehended as a type and shadow of the seed of Adam. You know, Ahab kind of representing the old man, the Adamic creation, Adam, the first man. And the first man, I mean, the old man, the old creation, it needs to be eradicated, and his seed. Ahab had 70 sons. All of that proliferated from the old man, from the seed of the old creation, the corruption. All that needs to also be annihilated. The cross did that. The old man was crucified, and his seed, and his corruption. All of an old creation was crucified in Christ. Okay, and Ahab is kind of representing that old man, that old seed, that old creation. And definitely it needs to happen, right? We need to have a real slaughter where the cross has a true impact in our hearts, where King Ahab doesn't rule anymore, neither does his seed have place in the land of his people, our hearts. So that's a real thing. It's a real need. It's a God-ordained thing that it would happen. And the same principle with Baal worship. Baal worship, you know, is kind of the old man, Ahab, Jezebel, is open to the enemy because he appeals to our selfishness. He appeals to our corruption. So there's going to be this coalition between Ahab's seed and the people of that time, and Baal worship being prevalent, the enemy having more place, worshiping idols having more prevalence in the land because it's the old man. He's corruption. That's the kind he is. Does that make sense? Baal being idolatry, the enemy having place in the people, Ahab being that old creation, corruption, that first man, that seed of Adam. Okay, so yes, it's true that the old man needs to be eradicated and that the enemy's influence needs to be eradicated and all this idol worship needs to be eradicated. Right. All this stuff needs to get out of the people, the land. It's God's place. It's Jehu's method that needed avenging, the blood of Jezreel on the house of Jehu. Now, this is very, very specific. The blood that was shed at Jezreel was shed through Jehu's sword and zeal. The blood that was spilled in Jezreel had nothing to do with God's method and God's person. God's king was King Lamb. King slaughtered Lamb Jesus, who was going to take all of that down, but in an extremely different method than Jehu. He wasn't going to do it by zeal in a fleshly way. He was going to do it by laying his life down, by taking it all into himself, by burying the death, okay? All right? Jehu's method is nothing like that. And therefore, the blood that was shed in Jezreel needs to be avenged on the house of Jehu because it was he who brought it forth apart from Christ. Okay, and Lindsay will be next. So the blood also represents the life. Leviticus tells us the life is in the blood. When God sees the mighty slaughter that happened in the valley of Jezreel, which isn't it funny that the name of the slaughter and the name of the valley is God will sow? You know, we could call it Jehu will sow. In the valley of Jehu... No, God says, the valley of Jezreel. You missed the big clue I gave you, Jehu. There's a really big clue in the valley's name. And your name wasn't in it. The Almighty, sown God, was in it. So we went into a holy land where the sown God was supposed to, through his blood, eradicate sin, through his cross, eradicate the enemy, the old creation, sin, death, everything. Through his death, through his blood, through his cross, through his self-giving method, through the Lamb of God, that blood is accepted straight into the mercy seat, straight into the Holy of Holies, straight into the throne of God, straight into the bosom of the Father, because it's his son. The blood of Jehu is an abomination, a contamination, an offense, and an affront to God. It does not bring atonement. It has no acceptance. And therefore, it must be avenged. What does that mean to Gomer? What does that mean to God's method, which is union? How do we put our template over that first child? Jehu's method is works. What does that mean? Let's go down the list. Jehu earned it by laboring to slaughter everything in his own strength and zeal. He trusted in what he did, not in God who crucified things in his son. He got puffed up and thought he was better than everybody else. And at the end of his life, in chapter 10, verse 32, 33 of 2 Kings, it says that he's worshiping gods. He's worshiping the false gods. He's full of all the things he was trying to slaughter. He's full of in himself. And God said, that's it. I'm starting to bring Israel down. He manifested pride in self at the end of that huge slaughter. There's our template. Okay? When it's Christ crucified and we enter into it through union and we partake of the grace that he forgave our sins and made us one through his death, we believe in that death instead of the works of our own flesh, we comprehend of that and we conceive of Jezreel, the end of that day is we bring forth Christ and not I. So you need to see how Jezreel fits into our template. Jehu represents the carnal method. Jehu represents you. He represents your carnal mind. He represents how you want to deal with your flesh when it's not Christ yet in you. You want to go in there and you want to get zealous and you want to crucify yourself and you want to slaughter yourself and you want to, with carnal weapons, take down everything that's not Christ in your land. And you want to do it for God because Elijah prophesied it, because this is what God wants. He doesn't want it to be you. He wants it to be his son. He doesn't want these things in his land. He wants it to be, right? So you just go in there like Jehu in the carnal method and start earning it. Start laboring. Start going crazy. Making yourself better. Cleaning up the land of idol worship and Baal worship and Ahab and Jezebel. You're doing exactly the same thing Jehu did, and God's going to have to avenge that blood because it wasn't his son. It's not acceptable. There's no fruit that comes from that. Just God needing to avenge it because it was just you. It was not done through what? Union. Union. You got to do it through union. Therefore, you got to come into his death as a bride. You say, when he was slain, the great slaughter that happened at Calvary, that was my death. That was my sowing. That was the day of my slaughter. That day I was crucified. That day Ahab died. That day Adam was put away. That day Baal worship stopped. That day the enemy lost his power. That day I was crucified. Which day? The day of Jezreel, when I was sown with him, the sown God, the crucified Christ, my husband, my salvation, Jesus. I preach Christ and not myself. I preach Jezreel and not Jehu. And I conceive of it so much that when I walk and Jehu wants to rise up and start circumcising his own flesh and cutting his own self to be more righteous and to get it to be more, I say, hey, you're not my king. I'm not under your government. I'm not under that mind, that method. I'm in union with the Lamb, my husband, based on grace. I believe in it. I know his heart. I conceive of it. And I will show forth Jesus. Give it enough time to grow. There will be a manifestation. Jezreel is important. Do you see how important? Do you see Jezreel in Paul's life, in his words, in his scriptures? It's all over the place. This guy brought forth Jezreel. And Lo Ruhama and Lo Ami. But he started with Jezreel, had to. Amen? Lindsay.
Okay, so what I'm getting from that is, I'm going to stand up so I can, or sit up so I can see you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I have the mic.
Good.
So, like, it's like Ahab's gone and Baal worship's gone. So, it's like, I see, like, God, like, looking down on earth and he's like, okay, seed of Adam, check. You know, Ahab's gone. Baal worship, okay, enemy defeated, check. And then he's like, wait, what's that? And it's Jehu, who did all of it in his own strength and by his own hand, and like, it's like me when I go to bat against everything that's wrong with me. Because like, we think that that's all that the cross needed to address, was the enemy and all of the really bad, yucky stuff about me that I really don't like. And so Jehu is like me going to bat against that stuff myself. And God's like, no, you don't understand. That needs to die too. Like, that exact thing right there, where you are suiting up so that you can go up against everything you don't like about yourself, that effort, that thing that you're doing right there, that effort also got sown into death.
That's right.
You know? And so it's like God saying, like, Ahab's gone and Baal's gone, but I need to avenge the bloodshed of Jehu because that whole spirit also had to go down.
Yes.
Because until you realize that every single time you try and live Christ, it's you trying to live Christ, so it's still not Christ. So you can't do anything until you have conceived of and brought forth Jezreel, because you literally can't, because you literally will be Jehu if you try and move past Jezreel before Jezreel has happened.
And that's right. Amen. And isn't that a precious thing to divide that out?
Right.
Because it's so practical.
It's like if Jehu like went to visit Gomer, he'd be like, okay, now you need to dress different and act better and talk better. Because, I mean, she was a harlot, right? She probably had, like, mannerisms or whatever, you know? And he's like, hey, you need to do all this stuff, otherwise you're not Hosea's wife. And she's like, no, I'm Hosea's wife because I'm married to Hosea, not because I changed a bunch of stuff about myself. And now that I'm married to Hosea, I don't have to go try and change a bunch. I'm married to Hosea. What goal am I achieving? What if I, you know, if I stay in union with him, then those things will change. But it's completely through union.
Yeah, amen. And as she conceives of exactly what that union has brought forth, she'll begin to conform to it. Because
absolutely.
It's already true in him.
Right.
And she's already in him. But as she awakens to it and conceives of it, it begins to manifest in her, even though it's already who she is.
Because if she tries to go off and figure it out and do it,
she's left him to make that happen.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not really what he wants.
That's right. Yeah, because he wants union.
Right.
He wants to give freely of himself that we might partake of that, and then we, in return, will give freely to others. And the love goes on.
Right.
Yeah, because, beloved, love one another. Well, we can't do that until we've received of this great grace, to the praise of the glory of the grace of God, that we would be accepted in the beloved. You know, this love thing is amazing, because the way we come to know Jesus and the way we relate to him, well, we're going to show forth that same kind of love to others. And if it's all about us earning it and all about us thinking about how good or bad we are, they're going to pick up on that vibe, man. And they're going to be like, dude, I don't know, man. I don't think I can do this Christianity thing. I don't think I want to be with this kind of God. But when we're soaked in his heart and his ways and we know him, it's contagious. People want that Jesus. Who wouldn't? Man. So, Jezreel, amen. Beautiful stuff, isn't it? Beautiful stuff. One more question. And we've got a shortened class today because we have a church meeting for Acts Bible School, so we have to kind of move quickly. One more question. Can't be a long one. If there's not one, we'll pray before we close. But let me ask this. Has this helped at all for anyone to kind of feel like they're catching up a little bit on what the Spirit's been trying to speak to us in our classes up to this point?
My mom says she has a quick comment.
Yes, go ahead, Sharon.
Can we hear?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, I was just thinking that, you know, Gomer...
Turn it down just a touch, Lindsay.
Gomer's union with Hosea and bringing forth a son that she's supposed to name the Son of God was just such a picture of the union of her with Hosea. That union is a picture of God being sown, of Jesus being sown in the earth. And so she had complete confirmation, buy-in, understanding, if you will, just in the name she was called to give to that first son, was the Son of God. That was a picture of God sowing himself. The union between Hosea and the corner. I just think that in giving him that name, there's understanding. There's this is what this union is.
That's right.
God's son himself.
There you go. Perfect.
There we go.
That's it. Well said, Sharon. Well said. I hope we all heard that. That was so clear and so simple and so straight from the heart of the verses we've been looking at in Hosea. Perfect note to end on. Perfect note to end on. Thank you, Lord. Let's just pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you for, by your Holy Spirit, bringing more clarity to our hearts so that we can open wider the gates of salvation and just allow what is true in you to be birthed into our hearts, that we might be with you as those that know you and show you and truly have Christ formed in us. Lord, thank you that this process of coming to know you and going to show you is a marriage relationship. Like these verses in the Bible show us, it's not an earning thing. It's not a tumultuous trial for us to become something we can't ever do or be in ourselves. But it's an entering into who we've already become through you being sown as us and with us, so that we could be married in newness of life to all that you are, filled with your fullness. And that, Lord, as we awaken to this reality, to what Jezreel has brought us into in his death and his sowing, that we will bring forth from that, Lord, the not I but Christ, not the blood of Jehu, but the Lamb's atoning blood, not the spirit of the flesh, even in its zeal for God, but the spirit of Christ in its laid down life for others. Lord, we will be able to be filled with the true spirit of who Jesus, our husband, is, as we continue to know you and receive deeply conceiving of these things. We will be changed into your same likeness. Father, this is what we're here for. This is why we exist. This is our eternal calling and destiny. Honor our heart cry to know you in this way. Cultivate a people who want to know you in this way. Convict those who want you but only know the old way of learning it in head knowledge. Let them be drawn deeply and betrothed eternally into knowing you as your bride. Father, this is what all of our hearts desire. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.